Our next presenter is Ty Magnum. Ty has spent his entire life in radio and TV broadcasting. He's keenly aware of the technology that broadcasters need to operate effectively. From traffic to production, engineering and IT to promotions, Ty has been involved with, in one time or another, in almost every aspect of the operations in small, medium, and large broadcast companies. He's also worked as security and IT in schools and commercial buildings to help solve security concerns which those industries face by combining technical expertise with an intimate knowledge of broadcast operations. Ty and the team at Jota Media work on solving problems and creating efficiencies for broadcasters across the U.S. Ty also has a patent pending for an IaaS service for broadcast radio, which would offer stations access to virtual audio chains in a durable cloud environment, allowing for simple, efficient delivery of processed and encoded automation and studio audio to their transmitter. Ty is also a coworker of mine, my engineering buddy, really smart guy. I'm really excited to be able to introduce him today. Very much looking forward to his presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ty Magnum.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming. We're going to be looking at cloud-based physical security for tower sites, mostly. It can be used in a lot of other applications as well, but well suited for tower sites, and that's what we're going to be looking at today. So the thing about meth heads, they really like to break stuff, and they're very good at it. I'm sure most of you, at one time or another, have come across at your site one of these lock boxes that somebody's worked on and gained access to a transmitter site of yours. Also, I'm sure you're all aware of one of these, which is definitely one of my least favorite things to come across. The number of mosquito bites that I've probably suffered at the hands of one of these is too many to count, and those are rough to get back together, not to mention people bypassing your locks and all kinds of things that can go wrong with one of those. So what we're going to be looking at is a system that controls something like that instead. So instead of a daisy chain of padlocks around a couple of, you know, the posts of a fence, it can control a lock like this, which is an electric strike for a gate specifically in this instance. And the wiring and associated relays, once presented with an authorized credential, can unlock one of these types of locks. Also, on a transmitter door, we would have something like this. That's similar to the lock that is on the door down here. Our demo door is a lock like this. So something that is, while not unable to be broken into, of course, as I said, certain folks who really like to break stuff are capable of breaking just about anything, but it allows an alarmed system that can communicate in real time and send a call, text, and email. It can also sound a strobe light and a siren on the door, and if anything, it certainly will slow them down and give you time to respond, perhaps, and if anything, maybe deter them as well, which is certainly what we hope for, maybe most of all, is the deterrence. So what we look at in security, and we do security for schools and a lot of other industries, what we look at is deterrence and prevention and response. That's what we want to look at. So a system like this, when they walk up to it, it's got a camera built into it. If you use that type of a reader, there are readers that have the camera and the fob built in. We'll show you that and go into detail. And so, if anything, you hope that there's a deterrent right there because you've already caught them on camera. You've got a motion sense and perhaps an email if you're set up for that, call, text, for motion. You already know that they're there, and they know that you're there as well. And maybe they'll just go somewhere else would be, you know, very nice for you, certainly. And then the prevention, to slow them down, perhaps, you know, I mean, to break open a lockbox, you can do that quite easily with a sledgehammer. I bought a lockbox and a sledgehammer at a hardware store just to find out how easily, and it's pretty easy. It was just a couple of good taps, and the key fell out. So any basic hand tool can open a padlock or a lockbox. A couple of crescent wrenches can make quick work of pretty much any padlock. So one of these, though, you're going to need more than some hand tools, most likely, unless you're very, very skilled. You're going to need more than that in order to open it. So that's the prevention, and the response is the alarm. And that lets you react to the situation and try to, you know, make do of the situation at that point if they are able to gain access, and at least you have something for the police and insurance as well if they do damage. So with that being said, I think the best thing to do would be to switch over to the app side. I'm going to show two products, basically, two types of systems from two different manufacturers. One is Motorola and the other is Ubiquiti. Some of you might be, I'm sure everybody's familiar with Motorola. Most of you might be familiar with Ubiquiti. They do a lot of point-to-point internet and different networking and IoT types of devices. So we're going to be looking at both of those. I'm going to do Motorola first and then do Ubiquiti. Motorola is more of a larger scale, I would say, system meant for a lot of sites. There's a lot of enterprise features in terms of user control. There's very granulated user control that you can apply to every single site, every user, and I'll go into those things. And then Ubiquiti is also can be used for any scale, at being cloud-based as well, and but it's perhaps best suited for a smaller operation, fewer number of sites. There isn't quite the user control and things like that you can control on the admin console side, which we'll take a deep look into. So starting with Motorola, I will switch over to the phone and show you what the app looks like for Motorola. And we'll go from there. Okay, so this is the user app that a user would use in order to gain access to a system that is equipped with one of these. So at the top there, that's basically the credential that's embedded in a user's smartphone. The system can also use fobs and key cards and traditional devices like that to present to the reader in order to gain access, but the phone is the most secure. In Motorola's specific case, they use basically a triple encryption in order to secure the phone, making it very difficult for some of those devices out there that you might be aware of that can fake a credential and use the read the radio frequencies and so forth that are used to gain access. That is that should be mostly eliminated, if not completely eliminated, with the use of a smartphone. Plus, people can pass fobs from one person to another. Of course, you can share your fob, give it to somebody physically, whereas people are much less likely, of course, to hand their smartphone to somebody and then, you know, give them the code to unlock it. So that's what it looks like on the smartphone, and Down here, it shows nearby readers. If you hit view all, this would show all of the readers that you have access to. In this case, we have two on the door. If you can see it, there are two readers there. So that basically simulates two entries or doors. We have two installed on the front there for demonstration. So you can unlock right from here. That's what the lock there is. If you have access to remote unlock capability, if your administrator has given that to you, or if you've given that to a user, if you're the administrator, that allows them to remotely unlock. So when I hit that button, it remotely unlocks. That's what that click was, and that would electrify the strike, and then the door is now open for 5, 7, 10, 15, however long you want to set it for. You can set that closure to be as long as you want, and then the door will be open for somebody to walk up and open it. So that's the readers. You can click into them in order to do a couple of other things in the app. You can share a guest pass, which I can go to after I show the camera. And then there's also, in the case of the device that has a video camera built in, that is called the video reader, that's what we call that. It has a camera built in. So if I go to the camera, it will pull up the live feed of the camera that is built into the reader. You can also let somebody in from there. If somebody were to walk up to your door and maybe you didn't want to share a guest pass with them, or they called you and said, hey, I'm at the door, and you want to verify that they're at the door, you can look there, and then you can go to this lock here, and you can click it, and that'll unlock and let them in as well from there. You see down here that there is a list of all of the events that have happened recently, and you can go and play the associated clip of those events as well. You can pull them up and see them for past events. And then the guest pass. So you can create, this is to allow, say in the case of a transmitter building, you want to allow a contract engineer into a site, but you know, you don't necessarily want to or need to make them a user on the system, and they don't have to then download an app or anything like that. They can simply be texted. You can simply text them or email them or pretty much any form of communication. You can send them a link. It's called a cloud key in Motorola's case, and it is a link that they can receive via text or email that allows them to just walk up to the door and let themselves in. And you can set the start and end time here. So it automatically sets it for an hour. You can go in and you can set it for a day or 8 hours or 2 days, whatever you want. And then you can also set the associated entries that you would, You can set the associated entries that you would like them to have access to. So you just toggle those on and off to create a guest pass for them. So that would allow them for that length of time to walk up and open the door themselves. So that is the app on the user side. I can I'll hop down there quick and just run through the specific components that are on the door, turn it around so you can see the back side, which would be the interior side, and then I'll come back and we can look at the admin console. Testing. All right. Okay. So just to run down the door quick, so then when I go to the admin console and some of those things, we can you can know exactly what's what. So This is the Ubiquiti side. We've got a camera, a couple readers. This is Ubiquiti's standard reader, and the reader that the video reader that has the associated camera, and it also has a doorbell, and you can set a. Am I cutting out a little bit? No. Okay. You can set a pin as well for somebody to enter that way. And then on this side, this is the video reader. So that's the camera at the top and the fob reader there, and then the standard reader there that does not have the camera. So I've got the app here with the credential built in. So a user can just walk up to the door and scan the fob, and then that opens the door. It electrifies the strike there for, I have it set for 5 seconds, and that is what opens the door. The door stays locked. Door stays locked at all times, and when they present the credential, that allows the latch to open the door. On the back side of the door, that is, and I'll show a bigger picture on the screen because I know that's going to be hard to see, but this is the Motorola controller. So there are two devices that get installed basically for every site, for a transmitter site, if you had one say like a door and then a gate. There would be one controller, and then you'd have a reader for each entry. So this can basically do two entries. So it has a breakout of relays and contact sensors and various things, and I'll show that in a larger picture up top. And then this is a request to exit button. So this is when you're inside the building, to leave, you wouldn't unlock the door. You would hit the button, and then that also electrifies the strike so that you can leave. There are a couple of reasons for that. Mostly because if you have it alarmed with a contact sensor so that the system is aware of the state of the door, whether it's open or closed, you do not want somebody to just open the door without presenting a valid credential, because that would make the system think that the door has been forced open, because that's what a forced entry is when somebody opens the door without presenting a valid credential. So the request to exit, basically, since you're already on the inside of the building and you have access to it, that is a valid credential at that point. So that is the request to exit. On the bottom here is the Ubiquiti. I'll also show a bigger picture of this as well, but this is the Ubiquiti controller, very similar to the Motorola one in many ways. It's got the PoE in. All of this is controlled by PoE, power over internet. So you need a PoE switch that can output an Ethernet cable for each device and deliver power and internet to the devices. And so it's got that. And then I just have on the Ubiquiti side, I just have the relay there for the door, so it can unlock the door, but there are all kinds of other things that you can plug in there with sensors and different things, just like the Motorola side. So that's the basics of the door and what a user does when they would enter the door. I was going to show two quickly, just make sure I have it hooked up because I take it off for the exhibit hall for obvious reasons with the siren. I was going to show a forced entry. So if somebody did break in, and I'll just unlock the door, which kind of simulates that. So if somebody were to break in and, you know, basically separate the door from the frame without a credential, that would sound an alarm there, which can only be turned off by presenting a valid credential. at the door. So if they do break in, you're going to get that siren. I have that majorly muffled with a bunch of cotton balls. That is exceptionally loud when it is not muffled, but you get the idea. So if somebody does separate the door from the frame, the siren and the strobe goes off until somebody presents a valid credential at the door. You can also turn it off at the admin console too. So that's the forced entry and how to open the door for a user. So I think that's the basics of the door there. So I'll go back and we'll get into the admin console. Okay, so I'll just quickly, if anybody is interested, I'll just quickly show that is the basically the controller unit that is on the back of the door. That is Motorola's control access control unit is what that's called. So what you see, it has power out. That's what powers the request to exit. It powers the siren, and it can power pretty much anything with DC 12 or 24 volts. And then the relay, that's where the door is connected. As you can see, there's the strike. That is where the electric strike would be connected there. And then you have a request to exit and contact. That is where you can add contact sensors and a request to exit button. And then the reader and the WiGAN is for legacy systems that it can integrate with, which it can. You can put it into what's called standby mode, which basically makes it not connected to the cloud, and then it becomes a periphery for a legacy device. But we won't go into that. But it can do that. And it can also, the standard reader, the reader that does not have the video camera built in, does connect to the reader. So you can connect other legacy readers or the specific reader, the standard reader, to that. And then you have the same thing at the bottom for another entry or for more contact inputs or relay inputs. You know, it's thought to be one entry and then, you know, another entry, but you can pretty much use the relays and contact sensors for anything that you would want if you don't have the use of another entry. But it is perfect for, say, front door of the site, and then gate would be the ideal way to set that up. So that is the access control unit that controls it. And that's the video reader, just if you want to see a bigger picture of that. There is the camera and the fob reader at the bottom. So that's the video reader. There's also cameras, dome and bullet and PTZ, pan-tilt zoom cameras that integrate with the system as well, that are made by Motorola and are made specifically to integrate into the system. And you can pair them with an entry so that any events in the entry will associate with that camera angle. And so there's a whole bunch of cameras that can be added to the system as well, aside from the one that is built in to the video reader. Okay. The admin console, then. So this is a browser-based admin console. This is where anybody who's administering access and administrating it would, this is what you would access. So the dashboard shows basically the state of any of the entries at any time. So it shows the lock state and the door state, and you can pull up the camera feed live from there. And there's a live camera feed, and you can unlock it there from the upper right corner. You can also just unlock it there. That's the unlock, and that works from anywhere. And you can see, you know, the last activity and other things. You can also go and look at alarms and general activity as well that you can pull up and see the last events that happened and all that. You can also do that in reports too, which we'll look at. Then the cameras. So we have one camera on this system. That's the video reader. Any camera, any sites that you would have. So if you had a whole bunch of sites with a whole bunch of video readers or cameras, they would all show up here on a wall, and you'd be able to pull them up at any time and see what's going on. So that's the live feed, and then any past events. And obviously this thing goes a little bit crazy with the motion while everybody's walking around and so forth. But, you wouldn't usually have that much going on. But that's the cameras. For users, this is where you would define the users and add their credentials. So you can fill in all their information. And you can also fill in their role, which we'll look at next. That's the granular access for every role, and then every user. You can make as many roles as you need. So this is where you can create credentials. So you can create the older type card and fob credentials, and then also the cloud key, that is the guest pass, and basically the dashboard unlock as well. So if you want a user to have access to that, that is where you can set that up. And then the mobile, that is where you can add the person's mobile device, and then the start time and the end time if you are adding them to the system, but you're going to have an end date where they would no longer have access. You can add that. And then when you save it, you can hit send, and it just sends them an email to the email that you filled in here, and it will deliver to their inbox just a quick setup instruction that prompts them to go to the Play Store or the Apple Store and download the app and then sign in through their email, and that will get them in and their credential set up. So you do not have to have their credential present in order to assign it. You can just send it to them via email. Then the access groups is where, once they have their credentials, you can assign to them what they have access to. So we have basically one site, and that is the demo door, and you can give them access for that. And there are zones within sites, and we can look at that on the next tab group. You can also allow them remote unlock permission as well. And the security is where you can do multi-factor authentication and some other things. We won't worry about that for right now. For roles, that is where you can go in. I'll just go into a role, and you can really assign pretty much every aspect of their access to the system. So do you want to allow read? So it's read and write. So can they see it, and then can they make changes, download, or edit things? So allowing them to, say, view the dashboard and then, edit the way that the alarms and activities show up on the dashboard, and then add in, see the users, edit the users, create sites, and view reports, and then create reports, and all of those things. So you can make as many roles as you want, as you need, and you can assign exact access that way. There are user schedules, which you can schedule certain users' credentials to be active at certain times. And then sites. So the way that Motorola sets this up is it is entries within zones, zones within buildings, buildings within sites. So if you have multiple entries, like a gate and a front door, you can put that in a zone, and then a zone can go inside of a building, and then a building can go inside of a site. You can have multiple buildings and multiple zones and entries, and that is where you can add that. That's where we have our entries there, and our site is the demo door. You don't have to add buildings and zones if you don't want to, but you do have to add at least a site. You'd have to, for every site has to have a site and then at least an entry in order for things to work. That's where the devices are. You can see the devices, any devices that you have at any site can be listed there, and you can filter them, and you can schedule device updates when you want the devices to update. And then reports. So you can filter the reports by pretty much any date range that you want, and then pull the access logs. So that's great for seeing when the last time, if you question when was the last time somebody entered this site, you can look at that, or when was the last time this person went to this site, you can access it there as well. And then there's a lot of other reports for, some of them don't quite apply like occupancy and all of that, but there are visual reports and user access reports and you know, all kinds of things that you can basically pull any information about any site or sites or user and see it in a report and then download it or email it to yourself. There are app integrations for APIs and things like that. If you do get into those things, it can integrate with things like Okta and Google Workspace and those types of systems for managing users that way. Instead of having to enter the users here, you can import them and then manage them through there, and it will affect the changes on this side. For alarms, you can create a place where there, if there's an alarm that happens, let's say there's a forced entry at a site. So you set the site, you can add a filter for which site or sites, and then you can assign it to a user. So you can basically assign it to them so that they have to acknowledge it and perhaps put notes in for the acknowledgement. And you can set up cameras to send to them with it, and you can filter it by, you know, the time of day, and then also the actions that they should take or that happen along with it. So just all kinds of things that can be set up with that, and also rules for like sirens and things like that, and alerts. And I won't get into all of those things, but that's a basic rundown on the admin console for Motorola. So with that, I'll get into Ubiquiti, and we can look at that. A lot of it's the same. There are some parts that are, like I said, aren't quite as intricate, but it's generally got a lot of the same features. So this is the Ubiquiti admin console. So you can see your doors again. They'll all be listed. You can also change it to a list mode there. You can pull up the camera right from there and see the live feed and click to unlock. And then you can see, you know, who your users are and go in and edit the users. And then recent unlocks and see the associated video with those unlocks, and sort that by location and all of those things as well. You can also see the status of your devices, where they are, and what their health is, and so forth. If you go over to the camera then, it'll show specifically the cameras, and you can pull those up from there. We just have the one on the door. You can also go to the timeline, so this plays back all the recordings. It also points out if there were people that it detected, or you can set up various different detections for people and license plates and things like that. that you can have it point out, and those appear in there. And then there's the general site manager, and that is that brings you to the network. That is where you can see the cloud key that controls the system. And that's probably a good place to point out, specifically for Ubiquiti, how you could perhaps go about installing this system, because you can install Ubiquiti if you would like to do that. Motorola, we are a partner of Motorola, so we would install and supply Motorola. But Ubiquiti, you can purchase and you can install. Probably the most difficult part is the electric strike, but you can do it. The thing to keep in mind about Ubiquiti is that there is an option to have it hosted with their hosting for a monthly fee, but you can purchase what they call a Cloud Key Plus. That is the device that we have. We have that underneath on the shelf there. This can run as the console at each site, so you need one per site. And you need that no matter what you're going to install for Ubiquiti. If it's going to be a camera or a door access, that is the console that controls it. So it's basically just a little computer with a hard drive. It has a 2.5-inch bay that you can actually swap out the 1 terabyte hard drive that comes with it, and you can put as big of a hard drive as you'd want to store more camera feeds for longer, more camera feeds or for longer, to give you more storage space, because it does act as the NVR, that's a network video recorder. It acts as that for the cameras that are associated with the system. Looking at other, and you can buy larger NVRs as well. So I was just going to go through some of the cameras that you can get from Ubiquiti, and they've got all different kinds. And this is the access control unit. That's the basically the standard reader that is on the top of the Ubiquiti side there. And what's interesting about this unit specifically is that you do not actually have to have a controller unit, the larger control unit that I showed you on the back with this, because it can control the lock on a terminal on the back through a relay itself. It can't do a lot more than that in terms of if you want sensors or alarms or anything like that. You would need to have a controller unit in order to do that. But if you just want a unit that can have a user present a credential and then unlock the door, it can do that. And it's a good solution if that's what you're looking for without a lot of the other aspects. This is the hub. So with the video reader from Ubiquiti, you need to have a hub that's got all of the breakouts for all of the relays and inputs and outputs for the doors and the contact sensors and all of those things. So there's the video reader as well. There's microphones and two-way audio with that, and a place where people can ring and those things. And then there's also a gate, a couple of devices that are designed just for a gate with Ubiquiti. So there's a call box, basically, where you can present a credential or input a code. And then there's a special access control unit that is made just for the gate. And that is in Ubiquiti's case. That's not the case with Motorola. So that is a little bit about the devices. So again, if you're going to install it, you need a cloud key, and you need the access control unit, and then you would need a reader. That is the basic what you need. And then also you need the electric strike, of course, and then the wiring. And that would about, you know, get it up and running for sure. So that's 5 minutes left. Yeah. So I don't know if we want to do questions or anything. Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up. So
How do you handle a situation with a double door that either does not have an astragal or if the astragal is removable?
So if you have two doors that come together, sorry, where's the question?
Correct.
Okay, sorry, for two doors that come together? Yeah, so what we call that, one is a leaf, and then one is basically the post for the strike. So you put the strike, you set one door so that it's immovable, and then the strike is installed in that door, and then the leaf is what opens, and that's where people access. And then you can put the reader, usually on the side of the door that does not move.
Okay, that makes sense. And then while I have you, does this system work well in a high RF environment?
Yes, it does. Yes, I'm glad you asked that because I wanted to mention. Yeah, we have precautions to take for that. We put the access control unit inside of a metal box. That would be the recommended thing to do for the access control. We don't have it on here, and even just for space, if nothing else. But put that completely inside of a metal box, and then use Cat 6, if not better, like Cat 7, shielded cable for the Cat cabling, and then very high quality shielded two pair or four or two wire for the relays should shield it. And you can also, if you're in an especially high RF environment, you can make the cable runs very short. Because the access control unit on the inside of the building can sit, usually, depending on the situation at the transmitter site, it can sit quite close to, on the inside of the building, to where the electric strike and the door actually is, and therefore the runs can be kept short, and that can help as well. So, yeah, it should be protected, and we've worked with Motorola on that, and Motorola certainly is very aware of, how to handle, RF and they're in that space as well. So yes, it should work very well. But RF's a tricky thing. You can never say for sure, but we can take every precaution certainly to mitigate it and probably not have it affect it. Obviously, RF too does not necessarily affect internet communications, part of why audio over IP is great for an RF environment, and that does not affect very much the internet communications too much. So that part of it shouldn't be a problem, and the relays and status inputs can be shielded as well.
Do either of these work if your internet's down? Can you still get in?
Yep.
I mean, you're not going to get alerts, but can you still get in?
You said it. Yep, exactly. So, yes, it does not need internet. So if the system loses internet, it will still allow a user to open it with their credential. The devices have a hard drive, a little hard drive, in them, and that saves the most recent configuration that it got from the system. So whatever changes you made before the internet went out, it retains those changes, and then if a user presents a credential, it will allow that credential to be authorized. But yeah, any communication out, live video or call, text, email, the alarm will still work, physically, but yeah, you'll lose, a lot of the functionality. It also records the events for reporting and so forth, so it will still, once it comes back online, it will update the reports and so forth that happened during the outage. And I can mention power too, if I can mention power, just because that's goes along with the internet. We use a battery backup. The system doesn't draw very much power. It only really draws power when it actually electrifies the strike. So a battery backup can, a relatively small battery backup can power it for 4 or 8 or 12 hours and can get you what you need. So, yep.
We got one last question by text. Is Motorola or Ubiquiti more robust?
Well, I may be a little biased, but Motorola is probably the most robust system. Perhaps for cloud-based, it's probably the most robust, but more than Ubiquiti, I would say. The manufacturing is highest quality for Motorola. But you know, Ubiquiti is too. Motorola has a built-in 5-year warranty for the video reader, and then a lifetime warranty for a standard reader and the access control unit. So if anything should go wrong, that is not basically, you know, act of God or something like that. They'll replace the access control unit and the standard reader lifetime, and the video reader is 5 years. So, thanks everybody. Appreciate it.